God that we'll direct our attention to this morning is recorded in John chapter 13, reading from verse 1. In the name of Jesus, who has given his life for us so that we could live our lives for him. Dear fellow redeemed, as you know, over the past couple of weeks, we've been focusing on who we are as a Christian congregation and how it impacts our everyday lives. For example, last week, or really 3 weeks ago, we celebrated the fact that it's God who has made us a part of this family of believers by first making us a part of his family through faith in Jesus Christ, by connecting us to himself through word and sacrament. He's now connected us to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's made us a family growing in Christ. But now the question is, what does a family growing in Christ do? How does our identity as that family express itself? Well, one way is we worship. In other words, we gather together to offer God our prayers and praises. We feed our faith with word and sacrament. We encourage one another by our simple presence together in God's house. That's what Pastor Prevey talked about 2 weeks ago. Last week, we moved on to the second, what we call active trait of a family growing in Christ. Namely, we study. We spend time in God's inspired, inerrant word to deepen our knowledge of the truth and to then apply it to our lives. Whether we're in a personal devotion or we're in a large group Bible study or we're a part of a life group, We want to be growing as disciples, as students of the Word. A family in Christ also studies. Well, today we want to take up the third active trait of a congregation, namely, we serve. In fact, that's our theme for today. A family growing in Christ serves. Now, the question we want to answer today is, why? Why would anyone want to volunteer to be a, in effect, servant? Why would anyone want to do things for other people that they could maybe just do themselves? I mean, don't we have enough to do in our lives that we have to be thinking about serving other people? Why would a family growing in Christ serve? Really, there are two reasons. First, because we've seen how Jesus served others. And secondly, because we know how Jesus served us. Our text for today records an event that took place with Jesus and his disciples in an upper room. He's celebrating the Passover. A little bit later, he's going to institute the sacrament of Holy Communion by celebrating the Lord's Supper with them as well. But before he does that, he's got a little object lesson that he wants to teach his disciples. You maybe realize that back in Bible times, it was customary for the host of a meal to provide a basin of water so that his guests could wash off their sandaled feet that had gotten dirty walking the dusty roads of Palestine. And oftentimes, the person who would actually do the foot washing was a house servant. Maybe like the lowest man on the org chart would wash the feet. But in this situation, Jesus had specifically instructed John and Peter to set up this room so he could celebrate the Passover with just the disciples. And so that meant that there weren't any servants in the room. And that was the problem. Can you picture the scene? The disciples are all kind of going, like, who's going to do it? I don't want to do it. That's what slaves do. I'm not going to stoop to that level. Besides, I would never touch his feet. So what do? They all sit down at the table with dirty feet. It's like, no matter how uncomfortable this is, we're not going to wash anybody's feet. I'm not going to be the servant here. But what the disciples refused to do, remarkably, the master did for them. John records the event. The evening meal was in progress. In other words, they had already started eating, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. That's a reminder that Jesus was about to serve the very person who was plotting against his life. John tells us, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. With those words, John is underscoring who Jesus is. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He has all the power and authority in the world. And yet, from that position of power and authority, what does Jesus do? He sets it aside, and he gets down on his hands and knees. He takes off his outer garment, kind of strips down to the waist like a slave might do, and then he washes their dirty, stinking feet, one toe at a time. Can you imagine the emotions that those disciples must have been feeling? Like shock, Jesus, what are you doing? Or embarrassment, that he's doing what slaves do. Or guilt, that they had not done it first. We know that this is what was going through their heads because when Jesus finally gets to Peter, Peter, who usually does be the one to speak up, comes right out and says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? It's like, Jesus, this is not right. This is backwards. You're the master. You're my Lord. You should not be washing my feet. I should be washing your feet. Jesus responds to Peter, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. Now, while that turned out to be true, that ultimately Peter did understand, at the moment, he doesn't get it. He doesn't buy Jesus' words. He stubbornly insists, no, you will never wash my feet. Now, just for a minute, I want you to think about why did Peter say what he said? Why did he refuse to let Jesus wash his feet? Was it because, well, Peter had a little fungal issue and didn't want Jesus to see that? Was it that Jesus, or rather Peter, just had very ticklish toes? He didn't want anybody touching them. Or is it Peter just said, I never let anybody touch my feet? Maybe those things were all true. But I don't think that's why he said, don't touch my feet. Don't wash my feet. Why does he say this? Because Peter believes that what Jesus was about to do, namely what slaves do, was not fitting for a man in Jesus' position. Peter had earlier confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For him to get down on his hands and knees and wash Peter's feet, that just wasn't right. You know, this whole scene, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of something that Peter had said earlier. When Jesus said, remember, I'm going to have to suffer and die at the hands of my enemies, what did Peter say? Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. In both cases, Peter is balking at the idea of Jesus doing something or having something done to him that just doesn't fit with who he is. Tell me, what's Peter missing here? What significant truth does he kind of lose sight of? He's forgotten what Jesus told his disciples on a number of occasions, like the one recorded in Matthew, where Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." With those words, Jesus is defining his mission in life. He did not come born as a child into this world so that other people could serve him, but rather so that he could be the server, so that he could be the servant. Isn't that what Paul writes to the Philippians? Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Ultimately, that is Jesus' ultimate act of service, offering his life for a world full of sinners on the cross. You think about how a soldier might jump on a grenade to save his fellow soldiers, and that's the ultimate act of service. Well, here Jesus, in effect, is jumping on the grenade, going to hell for a whole world of sinners. That is service. And yet Jesus did not only serve through his death, he also served throughout his life. And I'm not just talking about helping the needs of others, performing a miracle, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the thousands. I'm talking about something much more mundane, more menial. I'm talking about what he did here, washing his disciples' feet. Is there a lesson here in Jesus' actions for us? There is. In fact, Jesus wants to make sure that his disciples then and still today don't miss the lesson. Jesus tells them, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So what's the lesson here? What is Jesus saying? Is he saying that if you're really a Christian, You'll be washing feet? If you're really a Christian, yep, shoes and socks off today. You know, there's some churches that's how they take this. They make this kind of a New Testament ordinance. This is kind of a new sacrament. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying that you should wash one another's feet as I have. I've set you an example that you should do not what I have done for you, but as I have done for you. In other words, Jesus is simply giving them an example of what it means to meet other people's needs in humility, in love. An example of serving one another in love. An example of saying, "I'll be the servant." So what does Jesus' example mean for your life and mine? I mean, how does this apply? Well, how does it apply in your home? In your home, what's the job that nobody wants to do? Clean the toilet, pick up the after the kids, turn off the TV, put down the phone, and actually talk to a family member. Who's going to be the first one in your family to put on the towel and wash feet? Or how about at work? Or at school? Or in our community? What does washing feet look like? What needs are there that you can meet? Or how about here at Mount Olive? You ever seen anybody washing feet at Mount Olive? I have. It happened 2 days ago in the comments. A whole group of ladies washing feet. Oh, they maybe thought they were serving a funeral dinner, but they were washing feet. And before that, it was another group gathered around a table. They thought they were putting together the worship folders. No, they were washing feet. And before that, it was a whole group of guys out in the atrium assembling all the chairs for our conference room. I'll guarantee you that they did not think they were washing feet. They were. And the same is true of the person who put those communion packets in your pew and who handed you your bulletin and who's advancing the slides up in the balcony. They're all washing your feet. Why? Why would anybody do that? Two reasons. Because they saw Jesus do it. They want to follow his example. Jesus met needs. He served one another. But more importantly, your brothers and sisters are serving you because they know how Jesus has served them. Jesus has done more than wash their feet. He's washed their hearts. He's washed them clean. He's washed your heart, the heart that is filled with filth. He's washed away the sins of pride and egotism and arrogance. He's washed away the sins of laziness and neglect. He's washed away the sin of wanting to be served instead of serving others. With Jesus' blood and righteousness, he's made you clean. He's given you a new heart. He's made you a part of a family that is eager to use the time and the talents that God has entrusted to us to meet the needs of others in our homes, in our church, in our community, in our world. That, my friends, is why our family growing in Christ serves. We serve because he first served us. To God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.